You say you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
How we think is very important, okay? If our thinking is jacked up, we will be out of the will of God. We don't need to have jacked up thinking. Whether you are a teenager, young adult, or an adult, as a child of God, our thinking needs to be productive. Not just in church business, but in every aspect of life. We need to have the right type of thinking about relationships, money, death, whatever you put on the table. We need to have the proper thinking. Thinking has to do, by now we should know, with how we believe. Our opinions and our reasoning or our decision-making skills. All of that has to do with how we think. Are you with me, MSW? Yes. Thinking, again, has to do with our beliefs. Even though our opinions may vary, as a Christian, our thinking needs to be based upon God's word, or our opinions need to be based upon God's word. Okay? And finally, our reasoning. I want to show us a few things about thinking as it relates to the Bible. And how many know the Bible or God's word is truth? So let's look at a few truths. Some you have heard, but I want to just build a good foundation and make sure we're all on the same page before we deal with our main text this morning. Let's go to Isaiah 55 and 8. Isaiah 55 and verse number 8. When you get it, let me hear you shout, "I got it." I got two folk. When you get it, y'all shout, "I got it." Okay. One more person. Notice what Isaiah says about thinking as it pertains to God. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says who? The Lord." First thing we need to understand about thinking is that God does not think like man. God does not think like man. God's level of thinking, the verse goes on to talk about how far the heavens is from the earth is how different God thinks from man thinks. So as a child, a teenager, a young adult, an adult, we have to expand our level of thinking. We have to get on God's level. And oftentimes we try to make it seem like God needs to think like us. But it's the other way around. We need to think like God. Man is limited. But God is unlimited. Always remember, God does not think like man. Let's go to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. And we're going to look at one verse in Psalm 10. So while you're turning, always remember, God don't think like man. Man think is no way, but God always can make a way. Man think it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Okay? Psalm 10 and 4. It says, "The wicked in his proud countenance or look does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Second truth, the wicked or a sinner do not think like God. Wicked folk don't think like God. And as children of God, we need to make sure we don't think like sinners. Are you upset? See, some people think that God's house is just like any other type of establishment. They'll even go to the point to where they say, the church ain't nothing but a building. But no, this is God's house, a sanctuary, a holy place. God's church shouldn't operate like a department store. God's church shouldn't operate like the grocery store. Our thinking needs to be that this is holy ground. And we shouldn't think like the wicked or sinners as it pertains to God's house. In scripture, Jesus was coming to the synagogue or to the temple, and he saw that people were trading and turned God's house into a marketplace. Jesus went into the temple and just started throwing everything out the church and told them, look, basically y'all thinking it's jacked up. My house is to be a house of prayer, a place of worship. But you have turned it into a den of thieves. See, their thinking was, hey, we can do in the church like they do in the world. But as a child of God, we need to realize God's house is not like a regular business. This is a holy place. And so we always need to consider God's word, and we don't think about things in life like the wicked. Are you understanding? And see, sometimes God's folk, if we just be honest, even though God's people may be born again and spirit-filled, sometimes they get to thinking like a sinner. We don't need to do that. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Are you with me, young folk? All right. I got one loud yes. Let's try that again. Y'all with me? I'm not going to do anything in God's house unless he, guys, this is his house. This is his house. That's how I think. This is God's house. In scripture, when they got to moving things around and doing things in God's house the way the priest thought it should be done, preachers started dying. Killing them. God says, hey, you got to go. This ain't your house. This God's house. And I'm not going to do in God's house what I want to do. It's going to be him leading me as pastor. And we need to be thinking the same way. Final truth. Let's go to Philippians. I didn't get too much help on that one, but I know I'm Bible. I know if the whole world be against me, but if God be for me, I'm more. Y'all didn't give me no amens, but if that's good teaching, somebody shout praise the Lord. Yeah, and how many know sometimes you may not agree with the word, but the word's still right. Yeah, the word's still right, young folk. All right, let's look at Philippians 3. The Lord finna drop a bomb on us. Y'all ready? All right. Philippians 3:15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind or this thinking. And if in anything you think otherwise, notice, God will reveal even this to you. Last truth about thinking. Mature people think based upon what is revealed. Mature people think based upon what God reveals. See, I know I'm mature. I'm not perfect, but I know I'm mature. And one trait of a mature person is whatever God reveals, directly or indirectly, that's how I need to think. If God tells me, Baker, it's going to work out for you, for your good, even though chaos is in the midst, because he revealed Romans 8:28 to me, I'm thinking it's going to work out for my good. If he uses my pastor to reveal what I need to be doing or what God is going to do, that's how I think, because I'm mature. And see, many of us, you haven't reached maturity yet. So you got to start growing and saying whatever's revealed from God, whether it's directly or indirectly, that's how I need to think. If God uses the pastor to tell me, God is not a liar, God is not fake, that needs to be my thought process. If God reveals through the pastor, hey, the Lord ain't left you. He's right there with you, even in your trial. Even though I feel lonely, even though I feel like God ain't with me, I need to be thinking based upon what was revealed. If God reveals, hey, God getting ready to do something big in your life, that's how I need to be thinking. Why? That's what was revealed. But see, when you immature or a baby, you're tossed to and fro with everything you hear. You can hear something on the news, and if you immature, you won't consider what God has revealed. You'll believe somebody else's report. And that's what Paul said. Whose report will you believe? Whose report are you going to be thinking about? You going to be thinking about what the news is saying, or you going to be thinking about what God is saying? And based upon how you think, it's going to show if you are a baby or if you are mature. Leaders that consider themselves mature need to have the same mindset as they pastor. Ministers that consider themselves mature need to have the same mindset as their pastor. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Part of maturing is having the same mindset as your leader. YLT members, youth leaders in training, as you mature, you have to take on your pastor's spirit and how your pastor thinks. As long as it's lining up with the word, that's how you think. Good teaching, once again. That's real good teaching. Y'all listening? Y'all receiving? Let's look at it again. Philippians 3:15. Therefore, let us, as many as are, what's that next word? Mature. That's the key. See, if you are mature, notice what he says, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. If First Lady mature, she's going to think like I think as pastor. If the ministers are mature, they're going to think like I think as pastor. If I'm mature, I'm going to think like my pastor. Are y'all with me? That's how it needs to be. In our text, notice, Paul teaches the church to be spiritually minded. Y'all still with me? When we get to our main text, Romans 8:6, Paul talks about being spiritually minded. A number of definitions, but this morning I really want to drill into us, young folk, what it means to be spiritually minded. Notice, first of all, to be God conscious. Young people must be spiritually minded or God conscious in their thinking. You just don't do things without thinking about the will of God. You just don't get involved with folk without thinking about the will of God. You don't try stuff just to try it without considering the will of God. You don't have that mindset. Well, everybody doing it. Hold up. When you are spiritually minded or God conscious, you have the mindset, if I do this, will it please God? Why? You're God conscious. Would God want me to touch that? Would God want me to let somebody else touch that? I'm God conscious. Spiritually minded. Secondly, to be spiritually minded, aware of the things that pertain to, notice, the true God. Because see, you can ask some people, are you Christian? You say, nah, I'm spiritual. See, there are a whole bunch of gods. But Jesus is the true and living God. He is Lord. He is King of kings. And so when I'm spiritually minded, young folk, my mindset is to the point to where I'm thinking about whatever pertains to God. When I get money, I just don't ball out. I'm God conscious about this money. Lord, I thank you for this money. I thank you for this money. You got to direct me on what to do with it. And the first thing he's going to tell me, all right, you, if you earned that, you need to go ahead and bring me my tithe and my offering. See, I'm God conscious. Now, part of me ready to go get some Adidas, but Lord, do I need to go to Adidas right now? I'm God conscious. Sometimes he'll say, yeah, go ahead, ball till you fall. Well, you look at David. David went to the Lord, had lost everything, his wives gone, all his possessions, and he went to the Lord. And he said, Lord, should I go back and try to reclaim everything? He was God conscious. And the Lord told him, look, go ahead, recover all. Sometimes you get some money, God will tell you, hey, go ahead, go shopping. You should have been gone. Gone, go shopping. But then sometimes when God blesses you, he'll tell you, look, you need to put some of this back. I want you to get ready to sow. I want you to get ready to give, or you need to put this in your savings account. This is called being God conscious. How y'all understanding? And if there was ever a time we need to be spiritually minded or God conscious, it is now. There are so many voices that are speaking to God's people. And if the truth be told, some of God's people, they are not God conscious the way they should be. They're more in tune to something that they should not be in tune to. Jesus said it like this, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. We have to be God conscious. Even if somebody tell you they Christian, you still want to be God conscious. I was at this homegoing service a few weeks ago, and this woman walked up to me, and she said, thus says the Lord. She starts shaking her head, thus saith the Lord. I hear the Lord saying, oh, that thing. That, and then she got to saying some stuff, and I was just sitting there like, come on now. Come on, Lord, I already know, Lord. And the Lord said, don't even say nothing. Just listen. You got to know. You have to be God. Because some folk, if somebody walk up to them and say, thus said that, they'll be like, speak, Lord. You don't do that. The Bible says, believe not every spirit. We don't need to be simple-minded. How many understand? All right. Let's look at two traits of what it means to be God-conscious in our thinking. How many need to improve when it comes to being a God-conscious thinker? Let me see if I'm in the house or if the Lord is in the house. Yeah. We all do on our separate levels, right? Yeah, we all need to be a little bit more sensitive to the Spirit of God. So let's look at two traits God-conscious thinkers have. Y'all ready? All right. Number one, God-conscious people focus on the Word. God-conscious thinkers focus on the Word. And we know the Word comes in two forms, young people, the written and the revealed. Y'all don't be afraid to talk back. We know the Word comes in two forms, the written and the revealed. When you are a God-conscious thinker, you can be watching a movie and they say something or do something. But even though you sitting there being entertained, you to the point to where you like, that ain't right. That ain't right right there. That ain't right. That ain't Bible right there. Because you know in most movies, they'll be shooting and killing, then they're going to have a little scene somewhere where they talk about God. I lost my faith. Why did you lose your faith? Because God allowed my loved one to die. And you'd be like, hold up now. That ain't Bible right there. It's according for everyone to die. Ain't no way I'm a backslide when death is a part of life. You be riding down the road listening to the what they call the inspiration station. And they play a song. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. And you be like, man, that sound good. But when you God conscious, you focus on the word. You be like, hold up now. Now, in the Bible, they had shackles on in prison. And they praised God. And then the shackles came off. But the song is saying, take the shackles off so I can praise. That don't sound right. That ain't Bible. Or you hear a song, look, all you need is King Jesus. You don't need nobody else. You be like, hold up now. That ain't Bible. We need preachers. We need pastors. Matter of fact, God gave us shepherds. According to Jeremiah 3 and 15. How many understand to be God what it means to be God conscious? You're focused on the word. Whether it's written or revealed. You get to going through trouble in the week. But then the Holy Spirit bring back to your mind something your pastor taught you. And you're focused on that. That's called being God conscious. Notice focus, purposely directed attention. You are focused on God's word. You're focused on what the word says, whether it's written or revealed. You're God conscious. Watching your favorite YouTube channel, but you're being God conscious. You like to watch interviews, but then you see they put an interview or something on the channel that say Jesus need weed. And you like, I ain't going to even watch that right now. I know that right there is not something I need to let get in my spirit. Why? I'm God conscious. Notice what John said. Y'all with me? In part. I want y'all to read this with some power. John 6 and 63 in part. Ready? The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak. So if we focused on the word, we're going to be focusing on whatever Jesus reveals. Directly or what? Or indirectly. You go to possess something and they tell you, we can't do it based upon your credit. You ain't going to be focused on that. Mm-mm. When you God conscious, well, I hear what you're saying, but God is in control. He the one that told me to come get the vehicle. You just missed your blessing. Y'all understand? I'm focused on the word when I'm a God-conscious thinker. And I don't care who you are. If you related to me or we go to the same church. If you get to talking crazy, I'm not going to go there with you. And if your pastor getting to talking crazy, you don't go there with him. We have to be God-conscious in all we do, right? All right. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. I got a listening crowd this morning. Y'all receiving? All right. Because I'm telling you, stuff will try to get in your spirit. And we have to remain focused on what God is saying. Not the news, not on the internet, but the will of God. And sometimes even your own self will try to mess you up. 1 Peter 1:13. We're not going to read the whole verse, but notice what he says. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. See, if you're going to be God conscious, you're going to have to fight. God conscious folk are fighters. You just don't let anything enter your mind and you accept it. No, you fight. You protect your mind. It's certain things I don't listen to or watch because I know it may mess with my mind. It's certain folk, when they call me, I don't pick up the phone. And that ain't everybody. So if you call me and I don't pick up, that may not mean you. But I'm just saying, it's just certain folk I know. If they call me, I don't want to fool with them. And some are relatives. I don't want to fool with them because I know they're going to try to put something in my mind. And I'm trying to fight to keep my mind focused on the will of God. God-conscious folk have to fight. You have to fight to keep the victory. You have to fight in your mind to get the victory. Some of the biggest battles I have, guess where they be at? In my mind. Jeez, how many can bear witness to that? Yeah, but you have to fight. Don't ever think, well, if I get married, I won't have to deal. Yes, you will. You're going to have stuff going on in your mind even when you get married. Well, man, if I could just get some more money, I ain't going to go. Well, yes, you will. You're going to still have things that come against your mind. But never stop fighting. Fight to stay God conscious in your thinking. Gird up the loins of your mind. In my close, Paul gives two results that happen to people that are spiritually minded. Two results. Two things that God promised will happen if we are God conscious in our thinking. He says to be spiritually minded, first of all, is life. If you make up in your mind to be a young woman that is more God conscious in your thinking, you are going to have life. You're going to experience life like never before, just because you are being spiritually minded or God conscious in your thinking. Life is what Jesus came that we would have. He said, I am come in John 10:10, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life ain't just existing. Life is what God has desired for us to have. Sinners got life, but what Jesus is talking about is just not existing. He wants us to have the God kind of life. He goes on to say abundant living in every aspect of our life. He wants us to be successful or productive in every aspect. But it happens when we have God-conscious thinking. Are you with me? Boy, let me go to Psalm. Let's go to Psalm. Good God Almighty. Y'all didn't get excited the way I thought y'all would. But what David said ought to at least get you to shout hallelujah. Notice Psalm 23. And notice how David defines life when you look at the text. And I'm going to use Psalms 23:6. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, Lord have mercy, of my life. See, when a person is experiencing life, they are experiencing goodness and mercy. God shows you kindness when you're conscious of him in your thinking. See, there are people right now missing their blessing because they are not thinking spiritually minded. But see, you here up in God's house worshiping him, ready to receive from him, you might as well get ready to expect some goodness. There's some things that happen for folk whose mind is in the right place. What happens, Pastor? Good things. God shows him kindness. God does things for them that they can't do on their own. God got enough goodness for everybody in here. God got enough goodness to do something for us 3 or 4 times in one day, every day this week. But all this, only this happens to folk who have God-conscious thinking. Did you not know that God can show you some goodness even when you ain't got a dime in your pocket? God can show you goodness. Your car can break down, but then God show you goodness even though your car in the shop. You can be going through in your body, but God show you goodness just because your mind is in the right place. The world can be talking pandemic. The world can be talking problems. The world can be talking about pain, but you up here prospering in the midst of all that's going on because you got God-conscious thinking. Experiencing your best times while everybody else is talking confusion and death. Why? You got a God-conscious mindset. You just like them Hebrew boys. The fire is all around you, but yet you still living. Ain't that how them Hebrew boys was? They were still living and walking around even in the fire because the Lord was right there with them. They were conscious of God even in the midst of a problem. And see, God is trying to tell us, look, I ain't stopped giving goodness. I haven't stopped giving life. We just have to be to the point to where our mind is in the right place. We just got to stay conscious of him regardless of what we go through. But some saints, they done messed up. And it's time to repent and get back to thinking according to the word of God. Are you with me, young folk? God-conscious thinking causes us to have life. Life has to do with goodness and mercy. You know what mercy is? Favor. Woo, I said favor. You know, favor endures. The Bible talks about how favor is for life. Favor that comes from God is when God does stuff for you that you can't do for yourself. I need some more mercy. What about you? I need some more favor. And God pours out mercy and favor, not just on payday. God pours it out every day. Notice he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But your mindset has got to be more God conscious. Even while you're sitting here hearing the word, you may have problems all before you. But you ought to be hearing this word saying, you know what? This is just a job for God. This is bigger than me. You're going to have to work it out, Lord. And how many know if we cast our care on him, he can take care of it? So when I have God conscious thinking, I'm going to have life. I'm going to have life. I said, I'm going to have life. And we know Jesus don't want us to just have life. He wants us to have it more abundantly. Good God Almighty. That don't excite y'all? All I have to do is just control my mind. Control my thinking. Focus on the word and not on what people are saying that's contrary to the word. If social media got your mind messed up, get off. It's that easy. Get off. It's that simple. Somebody like, I'm addicted to it. Get delivered. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. But he says not only life, but then he says when you're spiritually minded, you also have peace. Life and peace. Now, we know peace has to do with prosperity, right? Yeah, shalom. But here in the text, peace also, in addition to that, has to do with security. God will keep you safe when you're God conscious. God will protect you when you are God conscious. See, it's as if the world wants people to be more conscious of COVID, conscious of your mask, conscious of not touching folk, conscious of being 6 feet apart. But I'm more conscious of God's peace. I'm more conscious that God will protect me from things that I see and things that I can't see. Why? I'm God conscious. And that's not to say that evil won't come my way, or that's not to say that adversity won't come my way, but I'm still conscious that God has a hedge of protection around me. And see, that's how Job was. Job was an upright man. Job was a man that was conscious of God, but he understood that, look, shall I not also receive adversity from God as well as good? I'm not going to curse God and die. He knew that God was protecting him. And see, we got to know that. When you're God conscious, you're going to have peace. You're going to have peace. I said, when you are God conscious, you're going to have some peace. That's not to say you're not concerned about this, that, and the other, but you ain't going to be walking around in the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He wants us to have peace. Good God Almighty. How many know there's no peace like God's peace? No peace like God's peace. I got so much peace that if you don't want to touch that money, I touch it. We don't take money anymore. Look, give it to me. I could do something with it. Oh, y'all ain't liking that. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Philippians. I mean, there's some folk, they just so to the point to where they ain't got no peace. I don't touch money. I don't touch doorknobs. I seen this one thing. They got this touchless thing where you're supposed to hold this metal thing and touch everything with it. A touchless. I'm like, come on now, bro. Y'all done gone too far. Too far. Notice Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses, help me out, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see the security that comes with peace. He says the peace of God will guard. God's peace protects us. You remember when Jesus, young folk, there was a storm and the waves were so large it was going over the boat. And the disciples started to be fearful. And the Bible says Jesus was in the ship, sleep, and the Bible said on a pillow. He was down there sleeping hard while all of this calamity was going on. They done woke Jesus up from that good sleep. And the first thing he said to them was, where is your faith? Where is it? Where is your God consciousness? Jesus went out on the boat, spoke a word and said, peace be still. And the disciples, they was baffled. Who is this man that can speak to the sea and it obey him? The Bible says, and a great calm came upon the waters. How many know that Jesus don't change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Letting us know that, look, we can have peace when we're God conscious. Jesus was down, sleep on that pillow. You know his mindset was like, Lord, you in control. It ain't my time. I know you sent me here for purpose. I got to die for the sins of the world. And this is rough what's going on, but I ain't going to fret. I ain't going to trip. He had divine peace, rest, security. Same thing God wants us to have. They talking about a hiring freeze, a hiring layoff, but you need to have peace. You need to be God conscious. Hey, God's still in control. God can hire me through all of this. It don't matter what's going on. You ain't got to wait for no stimulus check to get your needs met. All you got to do is just have God consciousness in your thinking. Lord, you said you supply my needs. Now, if a check do come, thank you, Lord. But I ain't going to sit here and just be stressed out waiting on that little bitty old check. Woo! How many know God ain't going to let man outdo him? When we are God conscious in our thinking, what are the two things we have, young people? Life and peace. Life, goodness and mercy. Peace, security. God going to take care of us. God going to look out for us. He been doing it, and he going to keep doing it because he does not change. The only way to stop is if we get out of his will. And I'm determined I'm not going to get out of his will. Not for nobody. Much as I love y'all, I ain't going to get out of his will for you. I'm going to stay in his will. And as much as you love me, you shouldn't get out of his will for me. Am I right about it? Look at somebody and say, we got to have God-conscious thinking. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.